Jesus wants to be praised. Amen for that. Thank you, Abe, for the opening. Jesus wants to be praised by me and you. And so we can do that. Also for the songs, various fitting songs, I want to greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that gives us the strength to come here, that have given us another beautiful day, a day of grace, a day of salvation, and this great opportunity to come together and look into God's Word. That'll be good. Today, I would like to maybe talk a little bit about the message last Sunday. We had the English message by Mr. Root, and so I did the German message and talked about how we're running a race. We're running a race to a destination. We're headed somewhere. And we had looked on how Paul tells us to press towards the mark of Philippians 3:14, where he says that I press towards the mark on the upward call, and that his goal was Jesus. He was running, and then at the end of his race, he had this beautiful phrase that he said. First, he talks about where there's a place of perish and where there's a place of glory. And then he talks about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8, where he says that I have kept the faith, I've run the race, I've finished the walk. From now on, there will be this crown that God will give me whenever he steps into eternity. And he says, not only me, but also all those who run with me, or all those who keep the faith, who run with Jesus. And so, on this planet, on this earth, we only have these two roads to run. And today, I'll give you the topic, and then I'll say a little bit about this. The topic will be, choose heaven, not hell. We'll be talking about these two places. I thought it was important that we talked about these places. And I'll tell you, it is not fun talking about hell. It is not fun. This is a terrible place, and we'll look at that. We'll look at hell first, and then we'll look at heaven. We'll look at a man that was ended up in Hades, also as hell. And some people, I said it in the beginning of last Sunday's message, that we see people in the world that have questions. Why do I live? Why am I existing? What is the purpose of life? Why is it that we're here? And it has a great purpose, and we're going to look at that today. But some people, they think that life is just life. We're just going to live it as good as we can. And thinking about salvation, that we just have to do a lot of good works, and then maybe we'll be good in the afterlife. Some people think that there's going to be another life. We'll be someone else. There's a lot of different ideas out there, but the Bible gives us the correct answer. Maybe I'll be in heaven if I do a lot of good works. We'll see about that. Some think that by good works we have to earn salvation, have to earn heaven. Some think that there's absolutely no hope, that there's just a predestination, that God has predestined you to go to hell and you predestined you to go to heaven. And so all of these different things, and people don't have hope. Our world today doesn't have hope, because they don't believe the Bible, and they have fables or different teachings where they seem to think that they will get a certain hope, but it is not. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us have good works. And Isaiah tells us that they're dirty rags before God. And so today, people that don't have Jesus seem to think that with good works we'll maybe get into heaven. Jesus preached a lot about hell, the opposite of heaven, or where people will be. We'll see that today. And I think so should we from time to time talk about this terrible place. So a question, what is hell, or what does hell mean? We have recently heard that some think that this place is called, it is just on this earth, If you're going through struggles or through problems, that is hell. And we see in the Bible that is it is a very terrible place. And I want to say this from the beginning. This place is not created for humanity, not for humans. It's not created for us. In Matthew chapter 25 and 41, let's turn there. To begin with, I wanted to point this out, that this place is not made for people. Surely people will be there, but there's a reason for that. In Matthew chapter 25 and 41, here Jesus talks about, this is where the great judgment day is, the before the great white throne. We see that in Revelations. And this is at the resurrection of the people that are lost and the people that are certainly saved. And then he says here to those that are going to be on the left side, he's divided the sheep from the goat. And then he says, and here they try to justify themselves by doing a lot of good works. And so here in 41 of chapter 25 in Matthew, he says, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. We'll note that word cursed. Into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Another translation says that has been predestined for the devil and his angel. And I agree with that. That place, Satan and his angels have been predestined to be in this place, but not people. And so he says that you that are cursed. And I just want to say something about that curse. That curse was put upon men or humankind whenever Adam and Eve sinned. And Jesus is the one that takes that curse away. But if we don't accept Jesus, we'll still stand before God with that curse. We see that very clearly there. So this is a very terrible place where Satan and his angels will be, but also certainly people will be there. We will see that. That have followed Satan and done his deeds, they will end up in the same place where Satan will be and where his angels will be. So we'll go right into this topic of hell. And then at the end, about half of the message, we'll look at heaven. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. We find two men here that were in these places. Luke chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. Here we find the story of the rich men and the poor Lazarus. And I'll just take a brief overview of the first part. It says that this rich man, who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and so this guy was clothed in this perfect clothes. He lived his life as if this life was just once, and that this was it. And so he had a life of pleasure. Bible does not tell us about that this man was living in a lot of sin, but it tells us that he lived his life the way he wanted it. And then in verse 20 it talks about that there was a beggar, and how he treated this beggar. This beggar was named Lazarus. He was full of sores, and he laid out at the gate of this man, and he was and he ate. Verse 21, it says, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So this man, he had a terrible life. He had no food. He was desiring to be fed from that which fell from the table of this rich man. So we see that this rich man had no mercy for Lazarus, for the poor man. And then in verse 22, it tells us that both of these men died. So it was that the beggar died, and here it says immediately, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And then it says the rich man also died and was buried. He was buried. It doesn't tell us that he was taken anywhere, but we'll see that here just a minute. So both of these men died. Both of them died, and they went to these two different destinations where we're talking about, hell and heaven. Or we'll look at a couple of different words. And then over here in verse 23, I'll read 23 and 24, and then we'll make some comments. And here in verse 23, it says, "And being in torment." So here it tells us where the rich man was. It says, "Being in torment and Hades," also as hell. It is an Hüchtichet Wut habe ich hier in Totenreich. I thought I would just mention that. Hades is also used for hell, but it is like a place where dead people go, and it's not the lake of fire. So here he's being in torment in Hades, and then he lifts up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip a tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame." So here the rich man dies, and he is in Hades, in hell, and where he is tormented. Where he is tormented, and he lifts up his eyes. He looks up, and then he sees the beggar. He sees Lazarus. He sees the person that he had no mercy with. He sees this person, and then the first thing he mentions is, it mentions here, it says that he was in torment. He was tormented. He was in agony. He was in these flames. The rich man appeared in these flames, and then he looked up, and then he sees this man, Lazarus, that he very well knew. He knew Lazarus. And so the rich man didn't want to be here. We see that very clearly. The rich man did not want to be in this place of agony, of this place in hell. Because he says, I am in torment. I'm in pain. I am in these flames. He begs for mercy. The rich man was not used to begging. He knew of someone that was begging, and Lazarus probably taught him a good lesson to beg. But the begging was over. He could beg, but there was no answer. I'm always shocked at when people say that go to hell, or very terrible words that are used, or we'll see you in hell. When I was a student, I went to, I believe it was fifth grade in New Mexico. Then I would hear these songs of the other students that would, this one song that would say, "Will you come to me to hell? I want to go to hell. Who joins me?" That was always a word that I did not like to hear. And so in hell, there will be no one that says, "This is the place where I wanted to be." There will be no one in hell that will say, "This is the place where I wanted to be." Even if they have said that this is where we want to go, it is a wrong picture of hell. There was an older woman, when she was old and she was about to die, and she said, "I'm not sure if I want to go to heaven." Just singing, playing guitar, and praising God for a million years, it'll be boring. And then she said, "I think there'll be more company in hell." And there will be. I mean, Jesus tells us. We'll look at that too. But hell is a terrible place that people, the world, have a wrong view of hell. And the rich man is here in hell, and he did not want to be there. The rich man did not want to be at this terrible place of hell. and there will be pain day and night wherever you go. There will be pain. I was thinking about this, thinking about hell and how it will be there, and we can't find a perfect picture or the worst picture of how it would be there. But I think about today's day, in our days. Maybe we work a hard day. We've had a hard week of work. We're tired, exhausted. We're just so desperate of some rest. We're just waiting for that clock to be 5 o'clock on Friday, and gone we are for the weekend. A little bit of rest. After that, we go, maybe some of you, maybe someone, works out and are not home on the week during the week, and come to come home for the weekend and just so relaxing to have some rest. Be with a family, take a nice shower, just relax, sit on the couch and sleep, have a cold shower and just refresh. Have a cold glass of water after a hard week of work. In hell, there will be no rest. There will be no water. We see that there will be no water. I'll make a comment on that too. The next thing I thought about is on going on vacation. If we haven't been on vacation for a couple of months, we think we need to go out. It's kind of boring at the house. We need to go out and do something. Just do something. Go out and do something. Look at God's creation. Look at the mountains. Go to the ocean or go to the lake. Do something. In hell, there will be no vacations. No vacations. No time to go out. Maybe if you've been sick. I've been sick recently. So if you've been sick, your wife comes and gives you your medicine and tells you what to do, or your mom does it maybe. In hell, there will be no mom, there will be no doctor, there won't be anyone that can give you some comfort or that can give you something that will comfort you. The rich man, he begged. He says to Abraham, he says, tell Lazarus to put his finger in some water. He was begging for a drop of water for his tongue. Look at what Abraham tells him in 25. Let's read 25 and on. Then it says, but Abraham said, son, remember. I want to stop at that word. He says, son, remember. Abraham tells the rich man, remember. So that means the rich man could remember of this next thing. That in your lifetime, you receive good things. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Abraham says, remember this. You have had your good days during your lifetime. And then in verse 26, it says, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fix or a cliff, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. There is a great cleft. It is over. In other words, Abraham is saying, you cannot pass over here. Lazarus can't go and give you that dip of water. And then the rich man begs of something else. In verse 27, then he said, I beg you therefore, Father. So here he had begged for a drop of water, and then he begs for something else. He says, in verse 20 says, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Now he's thinking about other things. He's thinking about, oh, I have five brothers that are living the same way as I was, and they're going to end up in this place. Look at what it says in verse 28 and on. For I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abram said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And then Abraham says this again. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they persuaded through the rise from the dead. An unanswered prayer. Let's look briefly at some more of these things that will be there. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. Paul talks about this very place, and he talks about that people will be there as well. Here it talks about the final judgment and the glory. He talks to both, to those that have that have obeyed the gospel and to those that haven't. But here in verse 8, it says, to those that have not. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who did not know God and on those who did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those people will be there. And I believe, let's read verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of, from the glory of His power. So we've seen that this is a place of no water, no mercy, no food, no sleep, just a constant torment. This is one of the destinations that we can run to. That's why I put the title on there, Choose Heaven, Not Hell. This is a terrible place where people will be. And hell, people can pray, but their prayers will never be answered. You can pray as long as you want. You can beg. You can do whatever you want. Abraham said, there is a cliff. Neither can Lazarus come and comfort you, neither can you come over here. It is over. This is the destination. You know, if you go to a place where you don't know the road, put your GPS on it, and it'll lead you there. As well as this, the sin or rejecting the Savior will lead us to this terrible place. The rich man begged, have mercy on me, but his prayer was not answered. Can you imagine praying and praying and begging, and your prayers will not be answered? You can pray for as long as you want, but your prayers will not be answered. The rich man begged and begged for something that me and you would probably never beg for, a drop of water. Abraham said, Lazarus cannot go in there. There's a cliff. It's impossible. A place called hell is a terrible place. This is a very, very serious place that we should take in should consider. In Mark chapter 9 and 43, we won't go there, but there Jesus talks about, if your right hand, it says, if your hand causes you to sin, or if your eye causes you to sin, or if one of your foot causes you to sin, he says, cut it off. Brothers and sisters, if we would do that, literally as the words stand there, we would have no feet, no arms, no eyes, no tongue, because all of those things lead us to sin. But let's take that together with Romans 6:13. Let's turn to Romans 6:13. In Romans 6:13, Paul tells us about this very thing about taking our members. In Romans 6:13, it says, "And do not present your members as an instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God in a dwelling as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." So Jesus says, if that instrument, if your arm or finger, whatever it is, leads you to sin, give it to God. Cut it off. Cut it off of yourself. Or if you have a thing in your life, maybe a smartphone or just anything that leads you to sin, throw it away. It is better that you walk through life as someone that doesn't have everything, or that you will be in hell and having feet and arms and all these. I want to say this. There is no reason to go to hell. Do you think that there is a reason? There is absolutely no reason for people to go to hell. People will not be in hell because of their sins. You might think, oh, people will be in hell because they rejected the Savior. They did not accept the Savior. Yes, hell is a place where they will be tormented because of their sin, but they will not be in hell because of their sin. Because sin have been paid for. The sin has been paid for. People will end up in hell because they did not accept the Savior that has paid for their sins. A terrible place, and a terrible place where people will go without a reason. Without reason. There's no reason that you have to go there. Are you willing to go there just because? Think about that. Jesus has made that payment on the cross so that you and I don't have to go to hell. We can be in heaven with Jesus. Let's go on. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, who will be in hell? Sometimes sin is just so pleasurable to us that we think that it's not that bad, or there's a lot of things that Satan puts in our ears. And here it talks about where Jesus says, who will be in hell? It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immorals, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is what Romans 6:23 says, that the wages of sin is death. That is the wages. If it is wages, then that is what sin has been paid with. The wages of sin is death. On which side are you? Which road are you on? Are you running the road that leads to Jesus, or are you running on that road where you can do everything but serve Jesus? You can do everything. You can choose what you want to do. You can choose what you want to believe. You can do whatever you want to do, just as the rich man did. The rich man did whatever he pleasured to do. But he appeared in the place of torment, in this place that was so terrible that he begged for mercy. He prayed, but his prayers were not answered. There is no reason for you to go there. There is no reason for people to be there, because Jesus has paid that fine. If the Word of God talks to you today and you reject that Word, think about what you're doing. Think about that. Rejecting the Word of God, rejecting that which God has spoken. And I think I skipped a verse here. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Here Peter tells us that the Lord does not want us to be in hell. He says the Lord does not want that any should perish. Says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all shall come to repentance. The Lord wants us, what's all of the people, every single one, to come to repentance. He wants all of the people to be with him. But you and I make the decision to follow our Lord, or where we want to spend eternity. Let's turn over to the good part, heaven, where there will be glory, where Jesus will be, where God will be, where the Bible tells us to lay up treasures on. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, Jesus talked about this place, and he says where our goal should be. He says in verse 19, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and their thieves do not break in and steal. For your treasure is, there is your heart. There your heart will be also. Heaven. Talk about heaven. Let's talk about heaven. Let's talk about this place where we can lay up treasures where rust will not destroy it. You can lay a brand new piece of steel in a human place. Sooner or later, you'll see this rust. It starts to rust. If it's there for a lot of years, rust will eat this thing up. And so he says, so Jesus says to us, do not lay treasures on earth, but lay your treasures in heaven. Because here on earth, it is destroyed. Heaven will be a place without any natural disaster, any natural such as rust and moth and so on. Rust is this natural disease or that came with the curse in the Garden of Eden, where God cursed the land or the world with the people when they had decided to listen to the voice of Satan. But in heaven, there will be no curse. There will be no disaster. There will be no pain. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. This will not exist there. It says that the thieves will but not exist in heaven. A thief. If you have something very, very valuable, you have to take very, very close care of that so that no thief will come and get it. If you have money, if you put some money on the highway or even put it on your front porch and tell someone about it, sooner or later that money's going to be gone. Or maybe it's just things. Maybe you have a truck that is worth so much to you. It's cost you a lot of money. If a thief has the opportunity to steal it from you, he will. It says in heaven there will be no thief. The thieves will not exist. There will be no harm. No harm. It will not exist. The Bible tells us there will be no tears. No tears. Revelations 21. Let's go to Revelations 21. Revelations 21 and verse 1 through 5. Now John sees this new heaven. He sees this place. Let's look at verse 1 through 5. It says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorns for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat at the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, these things are true and faithful. There will be no more tears. There will be no more crying. Crying will not exist. I don't think that God will go with a napkin and wipe away all of our tears. Tears will not exist in heaven. There will be no such thing as crying, no such thing as something that is sorrowful. It says it is all gone. All things have passed away. Everything is new. God will be with us. Personally, we will see God as he is. Can we imagine that? We talked about hell in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It talked about how they will be, those that will perish, those that will go to hell, they will be separated from God for eternity. They will not see God. God will not exist in this place. God will hold back his voice or his ear. They will pray and not have answered prayers. Here, it talks about that we will be with God. There will be no tears, no sorrowfuls, no crying, no death. When death will be gone, all of our problems will be gone. Can you imagine being a farmer without problems? Can you imagine being a builder, as I am myself, a construction, and having no problems? No problems at all. Problems will not exist. Can we imagine being free from problems, being free from tears, things that make us sad, like we heard in the opening, that people have all of these things in their lives. In heaven, there will be no things, such things as this. Nothing to worry about. Be at a full peace with God. Not having a body that if you cut yourself, you have pain or you have a disease. There will be no diseases. Nothing like that. Nothing to be sad about. Nothing to worry about. There will be no more pain. All things will be new. The Bible tells us over here in verse 5. Let's read that again. He says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, he who sat on the throne." This is God or Jesus that tells us this. "I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these things are true and faithful." These things are true and faithful. Paul tells the Thessalonians in chapter 4 and verse 18, in verse 4 and verse 17, he says that, let's go ahead and return to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read from 16 to 18. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." It talks about the resurrection. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Always be with the Lord forever. And then in verse 18 says, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Where are you headed? Where are you going? Which road are you on? Are you thinking about maybe all of the things you can enjoy in your life, all of these pleasurable things that you can do? You may have lots of good friends, but they like to party or they like to go out and do some things that you know that are not good, but it's fun to do. The rich man, it says the rich man lived his life. He dressed the way he wanted. He had very expensive clothes. But there came a day, there came a time where he passed away, where he died. And then he was in this torment. Then he was way, way worse than the beggar Lazarus. The people that are the highest people, the best people over here on earth, but without Jesus in hell, they will be worse than the worst beggar that has existed on earth. Where are you running to? Will you decide heaven? Decide heaven and not hell. You can make that decision, not me. Not your parents, not your mom, not your dad. But you yourself have to make that decision on where you want to spend eternity. The rich man didn't think about eternity. He thought about his own life. He thought about things that he could enjoy. But he ended up in hell, where he was in torment, where he was begging, but the prayers were not answered. I believe no one in hell will say, "This is where I wanted to end up." Choose heaven over hell. Amen. Let's kneel for prayer.